Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of ParkWest GC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon and welcome to Check Out California. I'm Craig Sullivan.
And I'm Rad Gantos, and my voice is not that deep.
We've got a very special person in the studio with us today. Stacy Steeman, the current president of Crew OC and one of the powers behind Pasco Companies. And Stacy is one of those rare individuals who has come into my life that's had a dramatic effect. We met when you were president-elect. And you told me about your mission to also get Crew into the hospitality sector. And I said, all in. And the nice thing about today's show is Stacy is also a panelist at Click. She is a sponsor of Click.
What's Click?
California Lodging Investment Conference. Click 3.
He just assumes everybody knows about Click. Almost. A couple more years.
We're getting there. We are growing. So Stacy is just one of those rare people that educates, mentors, and makes your life and your business a better place because she's in it. And welcome to today's show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
In fact, I think last time you were here was you were president-elect.
Yeah, I think it was. It was before I became president. Yeah. And then I was, I called in from Orlando.
You called in from Orlando.
Yeah.
Yep.
You called in one other time. I think you were down the street. We just couldn't get you in the studio that day. So Stacy is our returning champion, by the way. Nobody's been on the show more than Stacy.
That's where I was going with that, yeah.
And it's just a pleasure to have you.
Yes, the poll has been taken, and Stacy's the winner.
Yay! I like to be a winner.
Definitely. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about Crew and Pasco?
Sure. Well, why don't I start with Crew? I'm approaching the end of my presidency. I've got about 3 months left, but I'm extremely happy with everything that has happened this year in Crew and beyond. But, you know, in last year, I set forth several goals that I wanted to accomplish this year for myself and for the entire membership. And we have achieved, if not surpassed, every single goal that we set forth to accomplish.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We just most recently reached what's called the trifecta for network. Crew has a huge network. You know, we've got 70 chapters nationwide. We're also in the UK and Canada. And Craig, who recently became a member this year, has been a huge supporter of Crew. With that, I know that he had generously donated $1,000 to our foundation, which that $1,000 helped us achieve the trifecta. So just to give you a little history, the foundation helps support young women who are aspiring to be in commercial real estate. So as a chapter, we support them by giving a $5,000 scholarship every year. Mm-hmm. And that lucky award recipient was Amy Hugh, who was a student at UCI, just recently graduated.
Nice.
And your $1,000 was donated directly to Foundation, and that was one of the trifecta challenges. So just recently, we had over 50% of our membership donate, and then 100% of our board donated, which put us in the top 50% of network chapters who reached this goal.
That's fantastic.
So, outstanding. Thank you. You helped us get there.
My pleasure. You know what? You've got my commitment for $1,500 for next year.
Thank you. That's amazing.
You know, we will make an announcement at the third annual California Lodging Investment Conference
and Click.
Great. Click. So we definitely
I like the Click 3. Is it 3D?
Well, we dropped the D. Yeah, I was getting a little bit of pushback on it as much as I thought it was funny.
Looking forward to the glasses.
I just thought it was funny.
It's like I'd come out, you know, with the glasses on. And
you're telling me to design a stage, and I'm thinking 3D. I'm just handing out glasses to everybody, right?
Well, either way, it is going to be amazing. Every day I see new sponsors that are coming on board with some major hotels.
Yes.
So I'm excited to be a part of that again.
Yes, and where is that going to be, Craig?
It's going to be right down the street from the OC Talk Radio Studios at the Westin South Coast Plaza. So we could actually, if the window's open, we could probably throw a rock and hit the building, but they don't, so we'll have to walk over there.
And where do people register?
At CLIconference.com.
And is there a promo code?
There is, and it is all uppercase, click, C-L-I-C.
Yes, so. we practice this routine, ladies and gentlemen, every Friday on Balboa. You can find us next to the ferry building. We'll be the two people, very big smiles, and you know, everybody's avoiding walking around, big circle around us.
Oh, gosh.
But in all seriousness, it will sell out. So make sure you go get your tickets because it's sold out two years in a row.
Correct.
This gentleman is too humble to say it. I will tell you, this thing will sell out. Get your tickets. It's a one-day event you do not want to miss if you are any way involved in hospitality in the state of California.
Yeah, thank you. It's you know, it's been a pleasure to bring this event to the community and to bring people like Stacy and Crew OC and Pasco and various other third-party professionals and brands.
Oh, go ahead and name drop.
So.
Who else is going to be there?
No. Well, that's
you'll have time. To find out. You'll have to go to CLIconference.com.
Yeah, go to the website.
And go find out.
You'll find out.
And while you're there, register.
Yeah, and you can get your room there as well.
There you go.
So, but let's get back to Stacy. Stacy, why don't you tell us about some of the other goals that were met this year with Crew, and how's membership going for next year?
Great. Well, one exciting thing is we have to come up with our board for 2019 pretty early. So this week we finalized who's going to be on our 2019 board, but I can't disclose that yet.
Well, that sounds like a phone call once you've made the announcement
to
the show.
Sounds good. But it's very exciting. We've got some really impressive people that are coming back on the board and some new members as well. But last year, I wanted to increase, as you know, get more into the hospitality world, also increase the membership with the right individuals who can do business together, because that's what it's all about, is networking and doing business and increasing the awareness in commercial real estate and women in general. And so last year, I wanted to increase it with 15 new companies in Orange County. Mm. And we actually surpassed that by getting 25 new companies.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Now,
amazing.
Can I put you on the spot and ask you who all 25 are, or should we do that another time?
I'll call in with my list.
Once you call, you go.
There you go. I want you to know something.
Yeah.
Stacy's the most prepared guest. She's actually got notes, and she's got at least two pages of notes for topics to discuss. So I'm very proud of her.
Thank you.
Yes. Golf clap.
I like to be prepared.
No, I feel like I need to prepare now for this.
you guys do this so much. It's second nature for you. But another goal that I wanted to achieve was to increase the membership, just not with new companies, but the number too. And so this is the first year we became a large chapter in what Network considers a large chapter. So that means surpassing 150 members. Mm-hmm. So we are at 170 members right now. Which is really, really good. We're the second largest in the state of California.
Very good.
Yeah, San Diego tops us, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Not for long.
You know, number two and growing.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And we also have our national convention. It takes place once a year, and they spread it throughout the country. So last year it was in Houston during the World Series, which is exciting.
Nice.
And then this year it's in San Diego, and I'm proud to say we have 25 members going to convention, which is the most we've ever had.
Very cool. What's the date of the convention?
October 17th through the 19th.
And is it at the convention center, or are you at one of the local
Hyatt
hotels?
Hyatt Manchester.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So,
nice property.
Yeah. Very nice.
I feel like I'm there every other month.
It's
big in commercial real estate.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, those were our main goals. We've had several events which have been successful, you know, anywhere from our Crew Connections to our monthly luncheons that we do.
Yeah, the luncheons are great, by the way.
Speaking of that, we have one last luncheon this year. It's in November, and we didn't realize till recently that we had it set it for November 6th. Mm-hmm. Probably not the best. It's on Election Day, so we're looking to probably postpone it to November 9th, which is that same week on a Friday.
Oh, I like that idea because I'm going to be up in Northern California with the speaking engagement. So,
good. Then you can.
So I will definitely be there. Yeah.
Perfect. And then
we'll get Nancy to come as well. So,
nice.
And that's Nancy Nguyen from one of our sponsors, Park West General Contractors. Yep. Our other sponsor is Rad Gantos and Associates, but we'll talk about those two companies a little later.
Or we won't.
Or we won't.
Thanks.
So, yeah, I'm all about shameless plugs. Come on.
You know what? If you don't blow your own horn.
And then our next event's actually tomorrow night. We have it here at the Water Grill,
right,
which is just around the corner from here. And that's our big membership mixer. Yeah. So right now, I believe we have about 85 people registered to attend.
Very good.
So you can still go. It's $60 at the door, or you can go online and register as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about showing up at the door and paying, but I've got to make sure that my major domo can work a little late and stay at the house and take care of McKenna, which, you know, everybody in this room knows who McKenna is. That's my 12-year-old golden retriever.
Beautiful dog. Makes him look good in every picture.
Yeah, she looks good. I know.
Yeah, right? You'll admit it, too. So I'm not saying anything he wouldn't agree with me about. Now, Stacey, is that open to people at the
door?
It is.
Okay. It's open to members and non-members. So it's kind of, we look at it as kind of a recruitment event.
Sure. Right.
Just to showcase what crew's all about. It's just a really good networking environment. And the room that they have over at Water Grill is really good. And their food's great.
Yeah.
They have a bar. So it'll be...
Where is it?
Really
is it
fun.
Is it in the private dining
it's
area?
It's in that side private
room.
Yeah.
Very nice. If you haven't been to Water Grill, here's your opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful restaurant.
What time?
So 5:30 to 8.
8. Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully a lot of people can join, and you don't have to be, like we said, a member. You can come and learn more about crew, and I'll be there so I can talk to them.
And you can explain it to them and hopefully get them to sign up.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And crew is not just for women. And yeah, I became a member this year, and I'm very proud of that membership and everything that this organization's doing. It's, you know, I look at crew this way, the same way I do with AHOA and so many other trade organizations that I'm involved with. This is a necessary part of our community, and it champions events, causes, and people. And, you know, and it's for the enrichment of our field of endeavors. And, you know, it was that spark of that at that other conference that you and I were at, nobody else was, and that conversation, and look where we are a year later, you know, and it's just tremendous, and I couldn't be more proud of you. I mean, you and I don't go back more than about a year now, but, you know, it's like you're part of the family, and I've known you. I feel very comfortable talking to you, and have, you know, and we can get into subject matter that's really fascinating, especially when you're talking to me about crew and all that you've championed, you know, in this short term. It just kind of seems like it's gone by in the blink of an eye. So
I have a question, because I think we have an opportunity to hear from maybe a slightly different perspective.
Sure.
Knowing you, everybody when they talk about commercial real estate these days, especially at this time of year,
right?
Especially lately,
There
seems to be a little uncertainty. A lack of clarity. You know, part of it is it's the end of the year. We don't know what next year is going to be bringing, right? So some of that is sort of typical this time of year. But what, looking back over the last year, relevant not necessarily to crew specifically, but, or maybe crew's role in this, but commercial real estate, Orange County, okay? I mean, I drive through some parts of town where I would have never thought I would see for a lease sign.
Right.
Yeah.
In high affluent neighborhoods. And for lease signs, been up for 6 months.
Right.
In other places, they can't build stuff fast enough. And it's like this, like I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. Like what's happening? Is it a great? Is there opportunities when I see those lease signs? What's going on in this last year, if you were to reflect back on commercial real estate in Orange County?
Sure. Oh, gosh. It's, you know, it depends on what product type you're looking at. So if you're talking about office and these lease signs that you see on every corner, and then you see the newly built business complexes, most of the newly built ones are going to be the creative space concept.
The where,
yeah, exactly. Like the boardwalk that just went in on Jamboree. You've got the other one that's going in off the 133 in Irvine. These are all going to have, you know, huge, like tons of amenities. The customer service at those, they're taking a hospitality approach. And if you don't have that, you're going to be left behind. But I do think that there is still a market. Not everyone wants the new. They want the old, maybe rehabbed with that, you know, people are adding amenities to it. They're adding, you know, dry cleaners on site. They're adding hair cutting salons, nail salons on site. Things that you could do all in one stop versus having to stop on your way home.
Right.
So Mm-hmm. It just depends. But there's been so many different laws that are changing here in California. Mm-hmm. For one, Pasco doesn't really buy a ton in California. We do still look at retail opportunities here. We do have a development project we're working on in Los Angeles. It's going to be an apartment complex.
Nice.
Which is great. However, there's a lot of people that are scared to build here or to move out here because of, number one, if you're building apartments, the Costa-Hawkins ruling, it's going to be on the ballots coming up. Mm-hmm. What that means is there might be rent control for owners.
Wow.
Yeah. So that could dramatically impact owners and people moving to that.
Proposition 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're looking closely at that. That's why we're a little bit timid and we don't really buy here because the cap rates are too low, you know? So we go to areas like the Southeast to find deals that fit into our mm-hmm. wheelhouse. You know, we go to secondary and tertiary markets. We're not looking in the primary sectors. But we go where there's opportunity. And I think that's what a lot of people are gearing towards. They're seeing these opportunities. If you see, we talked last time about the dying malls and the retail, the big boxes, and what's going on with these. Like, what's happening to the sports chalets that went out of business?
Yeah.
What they're doing is construction, you know, development firms are coming in and splitting these big boxes and doing mixed use, whether it's creative office with retail component with it.
Multiple F&B.
Right.
Yeah.
But it takes those creative developers and owners that have the money that want to come in and deploy their capital into that.
Right.
That's why you're going to see these lease signs up for longer than normal. People are just a little timid. They're gun shy here in California.
Well, overregulation and more on the horizon.
But I think I think you touched on it, Stacey, is that it requires a different mindset.
Yeah,
that you cannot apply the same mindset we have had in an economic engine approach that is based on widely available undeveloped land, cost of construction that is much more less than what it is today, lesser regulations, and you need to basically be outside the box in how you approach and how you put your deal together. And if you're not, if you're still trying to apply those same principles, I mean, the joke we always use is if you hire somebody that tells you they're a social media expert and they're basically applying traditional marketing tools to social media, then go somewhere else because that person is not, I don't care how big the company is, they don't have the nuances of doing what is needed, right? Same thing, I think, it comes to when it comes to real estate, especially in like places like Orange County. It's still desirable. You know, your tertiary markets that you're talking about, there's still opportunities. Yeah. I mean, I have family members that moved into Northern California, 45 minutes away from Oakland. Okay. They would never be able to afford in San Francisco.
No.
Even Oakland's probably out of reach, but 45 minutes from Oakland near Livermore, they were able to get a new house. Brand new construction, nice neighborhood, developed area, you know, been around for a long time, small downtown. Yeah. So I think, yes, you think you need to look elsewhere and you need to look at these things like what happened with the hospitality industry, with the adaptive reuse of buildings in downtown LA into reusing the purpose, right?
Yeah.
Change of use. Yeah. I mean, I know certain properties I've been looking at and the landlords have not been receptive to that exact thing, which is like you're sitting on 6,000 square feet. Nobody's going to put a restaurant in 6,000 square feet in South County.
No.
Split it up into multiple units, get creative on how it's offering, and you'll have something that will generate revenue optimization.
Exactly.
But yeah, so it's interesting. So
and uncurated.
And that's uncurated. Yeah. Candid, uncurated, courageous. Is that okay, those are, but I did
inside joke, everybody.
No. I'm going to say it right now. Okay, this show, Check Out California, and I mentioned it on the Rad Life before, is on OC Talk Radio, but it is produced by
Golden State Media Group.
Golden State Media Group, which is
us.
Something we formulated because we're spending way too much time in front of the mic and we need to figure out a way to organize it. But it is basically, yes, we live in a world where everything comes in an 8x10 glossy box, neatly packaged, blah, blah, blah. And people are tired of that. They want the out of the normal. They want the out of the box. And the same thing applies to this. It's really interesting. I think there's a lot of opportunity. I just think, you know, who's going to really see that? Who's going to capture that? You know, some of them are, but not a lot of them.
We did. Pasco sees opportunities in a lot of things. We bought recently a center that's in Corona. And it was a dated center. I think it was built in 1965 or so. and it needed a facelift. You know, there were some older tenants in there. They weren't the popular tenants. No one was going there very much. And so we went in and we just did a full rehab. And now we're getting, you know, Blaze Pizza and Nectar Juice and Starbucks is taking over the Carl's Jr. So, you know, it we're attracting
these
tenants.
I think I know that center, too.
So, you know, we think outside the box. You know, we are, that's kind of our philosophy on retail. We're not going into the new stuff. We're not building new.
Right.
We are taking old and making it look better and getting the right tenant mix in there. And if you bring the right tenants, the other tenants will follow.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You know, I learned that from, you know, that Nectar store that's going to be out there is going to be a franchisee. And that what attracted to them was the fact that Blaze was going in addition. So Blaze brought them there. In addition to, they wanted to expand into that market, but that was enticing for them.
Well, and do you find that you, as a landlord, now also has to look at it in terms of what layered offering is coming in that center? It's not just TI and Phil. There has to be support services to provide support to succeed, for those businesses to succeed. You, as a landlord, are now a vested partner in a way.
Yes.
Not just, here's my lease, pay me the rent.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, again, is a change maybe for how we used to do it 20 years ago. I mean, some companies have always done this, but a lot of them have not.
Yeah.
They build the asset, they fill it, and then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
This is no longer a reality that you can really function and sustain a business on anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating. I think there is opportunity every time you look at one of those lease signs. Yeah. But you just got to think outside the box of how you approach it.
And, you know, going back to what our bread and butter is, multifamily.
Yeah.
You know, we've been a Class A multifamily buyer since 2005. And, you know, we typically, we're in 21 states, but there is a reason we go towards the Southeast or Texas or Arizona, because number one, that's where people are moving to. The job growth is stronger
cost
in those areas.
Living.
Right. Yeah. Cost of living. There's universities. There's healthcare being built around the properties that we're purchasing. And just a little fact about Orange County, I learned this last week when I was at a conference. And we have, let's see, there's 100,000 units that we are short of here in Orange County.
For living.
Yeah. Yep.
So more people are moving here, getting jobs, than there are apartments being built.
Right.
There are 23,000 units that are being built in Southern California. That's all of Southern California this year. So just Orange County, we're shy of 100,000. They're only building 23,000.
Yeah.
Nationwide, we're expected to only build 350,000. So that just goes to show you there's still going to be a shortage. There's always going to be a demand for multifamily.
Yeah.
There are fewer homeowners. If you notice, there's not a whole lot of homes being built.
Right.
It
hasn't
more
been for
multifamily.
A while. Yeah. And Irvine Company was one of the leaders in that prior to the meltdown.
Right.
They stopped building
single
condos and single family detached housing. They went into the apartment homes. And you guys have always thrived in that space and done, you know, exceedingly well. And another reason, you know, multifamily has been the favorite child with lenders and Wall Street and everybody else.
You know, I've noticed this actually in my own neighborhood, and it depends. Some cities are more receptive to this, and I don't know whether the door was open when they started doing grandmother flats or is that what it's called? I think grandmother flats.
Well,
where they basically add.
I'd call it an Ohana flat.
Ohana flat. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Family flat. Okay. But the point is really interesting because I've seen single family homes that have been taken down in existing neighborhoods that they then have built two units, three, four units on the same piece of property, rezoned that for multi-unit, and the units are not big. They're actually small. I mean, it's a two-bedroom, but the apartment-sized living room, the apartment-sized dining room, and those things are still hitting the market at $1 million because of the destination, you know, location, location, location. So again, the outside of the box thinking of how to recalibrate that asset and make it turn into an opportunity. Tell me some of the things that may be relevant to multifamily, Stacey, that you are seeing as far as expectations. Like for that client that is looking at a multifamily unit, is it, I mean, it may be regional to a certain extent.
Right. But I'd say the ones that we look for, they have to be heavily amenitized. So you have to have the state-of-the-art swimming pool, a gym that not only is fitness equipment that's top of the line, you have to have classes that are offered in the gym.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You also have to provide a coffee service, like a barista sometimes. Mm-hmm. You have to offer cooking, you know, shows or whatever it is.
The hospitality component of it.
Right. It all boils down to hospitality. That is now crossover, whatever you're looking at, office space, retail, multifamily.
Assisted living, senior
smart
centers.
Homes.
Yeah, smart homes.
So
smart homes
that is another thing. Yeah. Huge component. Yeah. Now they are building multifamily or retrofitting these existing multifamily properties for them to be smart. You walk in and everything turns on for you. It's all controlled by your phone. Mm-hmm. And there are numerous companies out there that are doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because we can take our property and we look at other income as ways to add value to our properties.
Right, yeah.
Few of those ways are, number one, implement the smart home. You can generate more rent. We also have what's called valet waste. I don't know if you guys have heard of this.
No.
It's not as popular here in California, but in parts of the country where it gets really cold, do you want to be taking your trash down every day?
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's a service. You put your bag outside and they take your trash away for you.
Yeah.
And that is mandatory in most apartment complexes nowadays. And great friends of mine, I love it. Yep, great concept. And you're not having the smelly trash outside or, you know, the dumpster downstairs.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to get smart. You have to really think outside the box. People are putting in, so many pet owners are going in now.
Right.
So you have to, you know, you're getting other income there where you're charging the pet owners a rent for their pet, deposit for the cleaning, all of that kind of stuff. And then they're adding dog washing stations as well, like high-tech dog washing stations. Yeah, and dog parks too.
There you go.
So, but it's all about the walkability. What is close by? You have to be by healthcare. You have to be by shopping centers, and not malls. We're not buying near malls because we know what's happened there. But you know, high end entertainment shopping centers.
You know, it's interesting, relevant to transportation because we are very much a car culture here, right? I was reading something the other day, and I was talking to some people, and there's like, for the Olympics, they're talking drones. They're trucking drones in LA. Yeah. Okay, so how far after the Olympics? Because usually things happen and sort of precedents get set during the Olympics. I saw it in Atlanta. Same thing will happen here. It was in LA. The same thing happened. How soon after that do we now start having alternative transportation that does not require traffic, that does not require roads being built? How does that shift the money and the investment into infrastructure? And then what does that do? Because to your point is when you have these heavily amenitized properties, there's less need to actually commute.
Right.
And the ability for companies to not have to house large infrastructure buildings with a lot of employees and allow people to actually remotely work and so forth, all of that changes the whole dynamic on physical real estate.
Right.
That is needed for particular functions.
Yeah.
So it is a very interesting time, and it's interesting to see who's leading the charge, who's still trying to hold on to the same formula as long as possible, you know?
And you speak of drones. Drones are now being used as a security measure at apartment complexes.
Right.
So you think about it. You've got a drone flying above. What's the likelihood of you either coming in to do something to someone at that apartment complex or theft or anything, because you know this is flying above you? You don't know what it's getting on camera. So that has proven to work at various properties.
So are you posting a notice that it's patrolled by a drone?
Yeah.
God, you'd have to privacy factor.
Yeah.
Stacey, you mentioned about like with the fitness in the gym and having like the ability to have classes and so forth, right? Are you guys getting involved in the programming of that, or do you partner with companies that do this? Because I mean, when you start providing those kind of amenities, that's another layer, right? You can have a box, but if nobody's actually activating it, it's just a box.
Typically, you partner with somebody who does it already. So you partner with yoga instructors or Zumba or whatever it is that you want to bring to your property. And they'll usually do it for a minimal charge in hopes that they'll get these customers to come to their studios.
And so, private lessons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it does work. If there's a gym nearby, you know, they'll partner with them to hopefully get memberships. So it does work.
Yeah.
So does that fall on the property manager on your side, basically, that basically coordinates that?
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So
I think we're going to go to a commercial break now.
And we
will be back.
Imagine buying a newspaper and discovering that the news you're reading is 6 months old. There isn't much that stays the same for 6 months. And the same thing goes for background checks. In a time when so much outdated information is being passed around, it's good to know that People G2 offers something different. At People G2, we provide today's intelligence, not yesterday's news. Our value-added approach offers you a fully FCRA-compliant solution that includes up-to-the-minute information. By combining industry-leading technology with old-school human investigation, People G2 is able to give you information that is accurate right now, delivered quickly to our online system or integrated with your HR system. So ask yourself, are you comfortable working with old news, or are you ready for a different kind of background check company? Visit PeopleG2.com or call 800-630-2880. That's 800-630-2880 or PeopleG2.com.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
We're back. This is Craig Sullivan. And that's Rad Gantos, who's stumbling. So I will pick up the torch.
I'm just going to sit back.
Sit back and relax.
Yeah, thank you.
And we've got Stacy Steeman, the current president of Crew OC and senior executive with Pasco Companies, in the studio with us. Stacy, let's talk a little bit more about Crew. And your term is coming to an end, unfortunately.
Yes.
But you are still going to be heavily involved, yes, because as a past president, you have an automatic seat on the board.
Correct.
For two more years?
Yeah, so it's a three-year term. I did my president-elect when I was first on here, and then presidency this year, and then I'll be past president next year.
Ah, okay.
So it's a three-year term.
Okay.
And of course, I like to be involved, so I'm not just going to drop off. I will probably, after next year, take on some other capacity, whether it goes to membership programs, another role.
Role.
Well,
okay.
That's smart, because somebody's coming into that position is, you know, you're still there.
Yes.
And they should capitalize on your expertise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm very active. I am very passionate about the organization, and I'm passionate about connecting members to other members. And that's kind of what gets my hot buttons, you know.
You know, I do want to take a minute about Crew. What do you have committees? Is there a committee structure where people that they're going to join? And again, Water Grill event is?
Yeah. So Water Grill event is through our membership department. And we have a programs portion of membership that does the events.
Okay. And when is the event again, Stacey?
Oh, it's tomorrow night from 5:30 to 8 at Water Grill here at South Coast Plaza.
Off Bristol.
Yeah.
And so what committees do you guys have?
Sure. We have what's called Crew Connections, which are for members only. We plan fun events. So we do yoga in the park. We do wine tastings. We do Duffy boat rides. You know, anything. We have one coming up. It's called, I think it's like Pinot and Portraits.
Okay.
So
nice.
We're going to do headshots with, you know, wine. And we've got a makeup artist and a hairstylist coming to do all
fun.
That. Yeah. And that's next week on the 11th, October
11th. Okay, I don't look good in makeup, but the Pinot and the Portrait sounds really good.
Come on over. So, we'll give you a nice new headshot.
There we go.
Be very happy when you take the picture.
Yeah. And this is one of our big ones. I think we have 22 members coming to that one.
Very nice.
So,
and where's that one going to be
welcome.
At?
That is at the Discovery Center.
Okay. Yeah,
so
in Santa Ana.
Discovery Business Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're doing that one. And then we also have what's called Programs. And Programs puts on all of the luncheons that you go to.
Okay.
So they decide the dates at the Pacific Club where we hold them.
Yeah.
And they also decide what the topics are and get the panelists that are going to be on our panels.
And some of the topics that you've had in the past.
Oh, we did a hotel one. We did a hospitality one. We also had like what's going on in commercial real estate as far as investments and deal-wise. So that was our most recent one last month. We do like a Spire Award winner. So when we hold our Spire Awards in March, we have the winner of that come and tell their story.
Yeah.
That's usually one of the topics, but really it's anything that pertains to what's going on. We had a cannabis one, earlier this year.
Yes, she did.
You know, opportunity zones, that might be one that's coming up. So
that one sounds fascinating to me, because I know when I was officing up in Long Beach, we had, you know, an opportunity zone close to our offices. And I think it's a great motivator for businesses and tax incentives and a few other things. So.
Well, the reason I was asking about committees is because there are a lot of organizations out there that you can join, that people can join for networking opportunities.
Right.
Some of them are industry focused, but it is not usually until you are in the organization that you find out that maybe there are not opportunities. It's just that, you know, it meets once a month. There's a major meeting. That's it. You know, so committees to me are important because that gives you an opportunity to communicate and get involved on a different level.
Yes. And, you know, I'm a huge proponent. We have what's called an emerging leaders group. Mm-hmm. And that is probably, I don't know, 40 or 45 strong right now. And what emerging leaders is, it's anyone under the age of 35, which sadly I cannot even be on anymore. They get together.
That's a distant memory for
Fine.
Me.
I can't even remember.
So they're really great. You know, just recently we had them attend our board meeting so they could learn more about what the board does, the decisions we have to make, the voting processes that occur. And it was a really, it was an eye opener for them and a big teaching experience for us. So, you know, they plan things for the younger generation, the up and coming commercial real estate executives. And they partner together with our mentor and mentee committee. So we partner, I call them veterans in the commercial industry. I remember I was at a conference one time and they used the word vintage for those who have been in it for a while. I said, you don't want to do that.
Yeah,
do not use
that's
vintage.
That's not good at all.
So, veteran is good.
Veteran is much better.
Wow.
So we try to do that. And we pair them up with people who are looking for mentors. And that's a big part of Crew. And I think that's
awesome.
Why people join.
Yeah.
Because they actually get something out of it. If you're not involved, you're not going to get.
I wish more organizations would do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I apologize. We've been having some technical difficulties. We've got a guest that's been trying to call in, and we've now got our engineer, our crack engineer, out in the hallway using a cordless phone that probably isn't charged. So,
a couple of bean cans and a shoestring, and we will have that caller on in no time.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul Roberts is the engineer that Craig's mentioning, and we couldn't put this show on without him.
It's probably my fault because I didn't bring him lunch. You know, when I bring him lunch, it usually the show goes a little bit better. He Gabby during your show?
He was, but we talked about fitness.
He had nothing to say.
Basically, his definition of fitness is to flex his neck up and down to say yes or no.
No, yeah.
You know, and I told him that was not stretching. He basically stayed pretty quiet during the fitness part of it.
Oh, that's funny.
But, you know, just to go back on this thing, yes, I wish more organizations would actually understand that part of that stewardship is to actually provide opportunities to pair people.
Right.
Because the first layer, right, I don't need to make my own mistakes if somebody can tell me to avoid certain pitfalls, right?
Right.
But there's so much more, like just the nuances that every industry has that only come over time and experience when you are veteran into it, right? And that doesn't really get passed on.
Right.
The legacy component of it is another one, like where, you know, it's like, where's the industry going? You know, what have somebody done? How do we build on that? You know, one of my favorite sayings of all time is that we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? We all stand on the shoulders of giants. And sometimes if an organization actually is providing that, I will tell you, myself, just like you, I will look at that organization as being something I would be involved in versus another one that does not have it.
Yeah.
There's a realness to that.
Yeah. And my thing is, you know, there's been a lot that have been done. You know, we've been here almost 30 years. We've been around. And my thing is, don't reinvent the wheel. Carry out what other people have already started, but make new wheels.
Right.
You know,
you go.
New and better wheels that are shinier,
right,
more appealing to people. So that's kind of my motto. And if I can't, I want to share something that's pretty funny. yesterday, I was telling my 8-year-old son I was going to be on the radio show. Mm-hmm. And he said, Mom, that's awesome. What are you going to talk about? And I said, I don't know, stuff about hotels and apartments and commercial real estate and my Crew stuff. And he goes, oh, well, if you're going to talk about hotels, can you tell them they need to add a hotel in Pleasant Town? And I said, Code, what's Pleasant Town?
Yeah.
And he goes, Mom, it's in Fortnite. He goes, there's only houses and a soccer field there. They need a hotel.
And for anybody who doesn't know what Fortnite is, go look it up because that is a very funny share.
That is hysterical.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking, any of these big hotel chains out there, if you want to partner with Fortnite and like sell hotels on Fortnite, it could be a huge moneymaker.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
You know, it's interesting. For those who don't know what that is, that's a virtual reality environment that basically every kid on the planet right now is playing, right?
Yeah.
It is almost to the point of obsessiveness and some parents are like, no.
Okay. Oh, it's to the point where I just heard the other day 200,000 divorces that have occurred recently had something to do with Fortnite, meaning the wife got fed up because hubby was a gamer and would not stop playing Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
So It's a serious thing, but I couldn't stop laughing when he told me Pleasant Town.
Okay, and for those who are looking at, okay, so I'll share this. Okay, I'll admit I'm a serial.
You play Fortnite?
No, I don't play Fortnite, but I was looking into it. I got two nephews, and so one of them is not allowed to play Fortnite. The other one is playing it. I have been, gaming and online, and unless you're under a rock, you have at some point or the other either spent some time in an arcade or you've played on one of the platforms on TV, Sega or Nintendo or whatever, and the next extension is online computer-based gaming. And, you know, Warcraft, you know, we got Blizzard just down the street. Gaming is a big industry in Orange County.
Right.
Right? And we're not talking about gambling. We're talking about gaming.
Right.
Right? But the thing about it that's really interesting about what you just shared, Stacey, is a number of years ago, there was a platform. We won't even call it a game. It's a virtual reality platform. Like, okay. And I think it was called Second Life or Second City or something like that. And what was interesting about that is, it was very technical to build stuff in for Minecraft. It was like really technical, and it was based on like computer generated, you know, architectural software, three dimensionality, whatever, right? But you would be surprised because BMW would have, like, BMW Germany had an actual like showroom.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you. Our caller just made it in. We got done with our technical difficulties.
Are you there, caller?
There you are.
Mystery caller, say hello to Stacy.
I know that voice. Ryan.
Hey, Stacy. How are you guys?
Good.
Well, for the rest of the people that are listening in, why don't you guys introduce who this person is?
This is Ryan. We're not going to go beyond that because it might be some sort of regulation about being on radio station. No, this is Ryan Huntsman from Chicago Title Company. He is the outstanding rep for not only hospitality but commercial real estate, and not just in California but nationally. Ryan is an old friend. Well, he's not old. He's young, and he's dramatically younger than me. But yeah, he's a friend, and he's also been a longtime friend of Stacy. So
I'm just going to say hello, Ryan. Okay, because I mean, after that, what can I add? Right?
Nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, the feeling is mutual, and everybody looks great. I'm tuned in and watching as we.
Hi, Ryan.
Oh, you're
hey,
over here.
Guys. In fact, I just ran out of clothing for you guys right now, Stacy.
Oh,
so
yay.
Thank you for your support.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Which state was that in?
And congratulations in North Carolina.
Yay.
Very good. There you go. Breaking news from North Carolina closing.
California show.
Because of Ryan Huntsman and his relationship with Pasco Company. So there
he
you go.
He makes our deals happen.
Yes, he
does. He is amazing.
He is.
Well, thank you, guys. You know, I was just listening. I love your topic about stewardship, paying it forward, taking people on as a mentor. And further, I have to say, Craig, kudos to you for what you try to do to incorporate everybody, regardless of sex, nationality, age. It's really great and refreshing to hear that.
Thank you, my son. I appreciate that.
So,
very nice of you.
Yes. I'm curious, does Pasco ever look into hotels? I know multifamily is probably his strongest suit, along with
we're going to work on that.
Well, especially with what we were talking about, Ryan, where these multifamily are becoming hospitality-esque, right, with all the amenities and all that.
Right.
It's like, we're not a hotel, but we've got all this other stuff that basically exists in hospitality.
We do. And, you know, ironically, I know, Ryan, you know this too, is some of the multifamily properties are incorporating a hotel component to it.
Right.
So they're taking, you know, two to five of their units and they're making them like a hotel. So it's a nightly rentable income that they're adding on because they have family that's coming into town. If there's not a hotel nearby, it's like, you know, it makes sense. Let's put them at the property right next to you.
It wasn't that long ago when Four Seasons put up a tower for a hotel in San Francisco and another one for full service apartments.
Yeah.
Right. And shared amenities, by the way, where you basically maximize the revenue optimization on the food and beverage back of house because now it also supported orders from the apartments, add a grocery component, Amazon delivery, you name it. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Ryan, you know, perfect point. You're absolutely right. They're kind of doing it in everything but by name only.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, Craig can certainly attest. I think that the hardest part of a hotel is having the business to run as well.
Yep.
So if you can find a partner or just run, like Stacy was saying, some of these opportunities to free up a couple rooms as hospitality. Well, now you're not dealing with employees and FF&E and all that other fun stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And if you know, let's say Pasco builds a 10-story building.
Yeah.
Okay, and you want to put in 150 units that are between studio and two bedrooms, two baths.
Right.
You've got additional space where we can put in maybe 100 to 125 keys for a hotel,
mm-hmm.
and offer all those amenities and,
right.
and blend it and bring in the hotel staff to run the hotel side so mm-hmm. that, you know, you've got something really special there. Someone like me mm-hmm. who is never ever going to mow a lawn again, okay? That's really appealing, okay? Especially in a vertical market, you know, San Francisco, New York, Chicago. We're not so much a vertical market here, but in the gas lamp, that would work.
Yes.
Now, I hesitate a little bit with the gas lamp because during the last downturn, you had a better than 50% absentee ownership in the apartments and condos, and they all got handed back in. So yeah, I'd do a workout on a number of them at a project down there. You know, plus with your retail and plus all of the advisors and, you know, commercial real estate professionals that your company deals with on a regular basis, I think at some point it's got to be a natural progression to take a look at this and
that's
forward.
It is an extension to what we already know. We have the expertise to go about doing it. Like, we're doing self-storage and seniors housing now.
Yeah.
Self-storage we've done in the past about 10 years ago. We've just started diving back into that again. And then we're doing some development opportunities in seniors housing with a local group called Avenida out of Newport Beach.
Yes.
And they're the experts in that platform. But they partnered with us because we have that proven track record.
Mm-hmm.
We know we can do it. So it's when you think of self-storage, everyone that, you know, either was a homeowner goes into an apartment and needs storage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's 1 in 5 people have a storage mm-hmm. unit. So it's a big market there. Seniors housing, where do you go after living maybe in an apartment or a home? You go into seniors housing.
Yeah.
So a hotel, I mean, we could do it if we wanted to go into hotels. We just haven't gone down that avenue in full force yet.
Yeah.
But definitely.
Right, but we should talk.
I know.
We should talk.
Ryan, why don't you tell Jack that's what we need to do?
I will. You know what? If anybody could, Pasco could.
Yeah.
I need to use a cliche term that a fish rots from the head down, but it's true. From Bill to Alan to Jack, Stacy, everybody's just super cool there. I think that's why they came in the top places to work in Orange County recently.
Aw, thanks, Ryan.
That's very true. You got a good title guy, right? Because if not, I know one. He happens to be on the phone with us. So, okay.
That does plugs for, you know.
It does, I know.
It was very well placed, actually, Ryan. The skill level was very high on that one.
So, Ryan, are you up in Los Angeles still?
I am here in Orange County today.
I'm
in Las Vegas Thursday and Friday, and then Los Angeles Monday through Wednesday for ICSC.
And how's your beautiful wife? I know she is due like any minute, literally.
That's why I'm only allowed an hour flight or an hour drive.
It cuts out LA because it takes 3 hours of traffic.
He's taking a drone.
And she is beautiful, by the way. I just saw your recent picture. She's gorgeous.
She is.
So can't wait to see the new baby.
Thank you so much. Me too. Well, I'll let you guys go, and thanks so much for including me.
Thanks for calling in, Ryan. Take care.
Bye-bye. So that, you know, I'm going to talk about that for a second. It's interesting because, you know, somebody is going to do it, right? And the lines are blurring between this is an industry of this type and this is an industry of that type and this is a sector that's in seniors and this is a sector that's hospitality. I mean,
and you're already seeing
those lines are blurring.
Yeah.
They have been for a while, but they're really, really blurring.
Exactly. And from a marketing perspective, it is extremely hard because you're in so many different product types. It's like, okay, we want to appeal to this market, but we don't want to lose track of what we've done and who we are, you know, over here.
Absolutely.
So trying to make it, you know, we're going to an apartment conference at the end of this month in LA and trying to come up with an ad that appealed to not just that market, but everybody, because there's so much crossover, as you guys know, whether they do hotels, apartments. So you have to appeal to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just narrow your audience.
Right.
And that's what I find.
So you know what I find that's interesting about that exact challenge, Stacey, is it isn't about the product. It's about the promise. That is the common ground, because if you distill it to the expectation and the aspiration component, you can craft a message that crosses over product. If your focus is product only, you're going to end up finding yourself pushing up against one particular definition, but it does not include the other one,
right,
so forth and so on. I mean, we talk about this, yeah, with the hotel industry all the time, and you know, especially lately, it's like every brand out there has so many sub-brands and alternative brands. And
hey, we just had three more launched last week at Lodge.
You blink, there's more launch. Yeah. Blink, you're more launch. Yeah. And at some point, you start to wonder, are you diluting anything? Mm-hmm. How long are these sustainable?
No, you don't wonder about that anymore with 45 new brands.
Well, I'm trying to be nice.
It is.
Okay, because we're trying to get sponsors for the show. But, you know, I'm trying to be nice. Yeah. But, no, it's true. I mean, at some point, you can break the pie down into small enough pieces and still say that this is still a unified pie. It is now small pieces.
Yeah, I look at it as the three P's. When you say promise, that is a big one. Promise, yeah. I'd say the people are the second one.
Yeah.
And a proven track record.
There you go.
If you have that track record and people know you're good, you're basically good people, you're trustworthy, yeah, and you also will close on a deal, that is important.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's so many people out there that maybe don't fulfill their promises, and brokers and developers, you know, everybody sees that. So they want to work with the good guys.
Yeah. People spend money. I've been saying this thing for the last 6 months. People spend good money for bad consultancy all day long.
Yes.
And I don't understand that. Is it a glut for punishment? Do you feel like, you know, some Catholic kind of guilt involved? And this is how you basically give me. Paul's looking at me like, what Catholic guilt? No. It's okay. You're off the hook for this one.
He confessed. Right? So you know, it's already
he's
gone.
He's a recovering Catholic.
So.
But no, seriously, it's like, yes, you're absolutely correct. So when you start looking at quality, mm-hmm, sometimes it's not necessarily the actual product or service. It's actually the provider of the product and service. And what is it that makes them quality?
I agree.
Right.
And that's who people want to partner with. They want to partner with the good guys. You know, in our industry, we've been around, you know, it's our 20th anniversary at Pasco. And our founder had, back in the day, I think I talked about this before, the tenant in common structure. And mm-hmm, back in 2008 was when, you know, there were 70 groups like us, went down to like 7 groups. And there were only a handful that survived that recession that happened and came back. And now there's everybody under the sun that's trying to come out with these similar programs. And, you know, it'll be interesting. We're going to Vegas next week at a conference. We'll see who all the new people are trying to enter the space and see how long they're around for. Mm-hmm. You never know.
But
we keep true to what we know and what we're doing, and that's who Pasco's always been.
You know, we talked about this in the show, just my previous show. You really need to take the time, mm-hmm, because there's a lot of fronters. There's a lot of people that are going to give you the catchphrases. They're going to throw at you the things that are trending, you know, especially now. I mean, look, I can go online today and I can tell you what hashtags are trending today and what words are going to basically resonate, mm-hmm, with you. And I can just, you know, make a posting and fill the whole thing with every hashtag that's going to trigger you, right?
Yeah. Right.
In a positive way to basically respond. The point is, yeah, what happens after that? So you really need to take the time to understand the depth of what somebody stands for, mm-hmm, their principles, their track record, what they say, does it match with what they have done with that track record? Because if you don't, that's going to be an expensive lesson. One way or the other, that's going to be an expensive lesson.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very expensive lesson.
I mean, what I've noticed in the hotel industry, I mean, you guys are booming. There's so many hotels. I know you guys are talking about people coming into the, mm-hmm, space, but it's booming. I remember when a time you could get negotiate hotel rates down to nothing.
Yeah,
now there's not much negotiating going on anymore because the demand.
Yeah.
People are back to having all the conferences they, mm-hmm, were having before and more so.
And it's cyclical. Everything
got more
travel,
you know.
Yeah. That's true.
We've been here before.
Yeah.
You know, it's the person and the entity and the company that has the sustainability, this lasting power that can ride these things, because they will ebb and they will flow and things will change, and economic conditions is one of them, but also market, expendable income, quality of life expectations, mm-hmm, aspirations that people have, that all changes.
Yeah.
So if, you know, hang out with people and communicate and work with people that have a track record.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that you're seeing any black swan events on the horizon, mm-hmm, but what's a concern for you? I know
if there is a
hospitality sector, it's labor. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last year, mm-hmm, we had, just in the hospitality sector nationally, we had 300,000 unfulfilled jobs. This year, it's 800,000.
Wow.
Okay. More than a 50% jump.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you combat that? And again, it's where our trade organizations and everything else come in, because now we need to do, as an industry, a better job at selling hospitality as a career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still one of the few where you can be a doorman today, mm-hmm. and in 10, 20 years, you're running a hospitality company.
But you know what's funny about that, Greg? We say that about on this show all the time. We've had guests on this
show. No, we say it's in our DNA all the time.
Well, okay. Yeah. It's in your DNA. You have honored me by saying that it's in mine, so I appreciate it. I would curtsy if I wasn't sitting in the chair. Right? But we do say that it is a career path. That you could start at the valet or a doorman, and you could basically end up in the executive offices, right?
Yeah.
And it is a career path. But what's funny is I never hear the industry say that about itself. We say it. The people that have been on this show say it. We have these conversations.
Yeah, we're just talking about this at Lodging.
But it goes back to what Stacey was saying about how do you craft that message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The industry itself does not convey itself this way. Which is really interesting. We've been at these conferences. When was the last time you saw this sort of universal embracement by the industry saying that you could start here and you could end up here? I mean, is it? I don't know.
Last week? Yeah.
Okay.
Lodging. Yeah. No, it's, you know, and that was one of the key concerns.
I mean, that should be inside the inside cover of Hospitality Magazine. That should be in the inside cover of Lodging, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly it. You champion the industry from that perspective, because I see it happening in pharmaceuticals. I see it happening in, you know, nursing. Nursing was a big one a couple of years ago when they basically took on that approach, right? Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, the biggest concerns we have, it's probably two different things. Number one, for developers, it's construction costs and entitlement process. I think that's always been an issue, but even more so now.
Especially here in California.
Exactly. And the time that it takes to get everything finalized could be years down the road. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get the entitlement, construction costs have gone up. So your original modeling does not really match what you can afford at that point. For us, too, the competition. There is so much equity being deployed into not just multifamily, but every asset class, maybe with the exception of retail right now. But, you know, multifamily, we're going after a deal that 50 other people are going after at the same time. People are putting down $1 million hard cash, sight unseen.
Same. Yep.
Yeah. We're not going to do that.
No.
That's not us.
That's not a good business strategy.
No. But there's a lot of capital that people just want to own. They want to own these multifamily structures.
Well, and there's a lot of money coming in from overseas that's basically looking for a safe harbor, not necessarily an appreciation of asset value, but actually just a safe harbor to park that money in.
Exactly.
Which is cash transactions, which again, it's really hard to compete against that.
And I think hotels are seeing more of the foreign capital coming in.
Yeah.
You know, I know they want hotels.
Right.
And apartments, it tends to be like hedge funds, pension funds, all these big, you know, CalPERS, big one. You know, they'll go in and buy up multifamily properties and they'll come in and they'll say, we'll do a 15-day close.
Right.
Ours
all
isn't
cash,
that far behind. Ours is only, it's a 21-day, I think, due diligence, 10-day close. That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, we're a preferred borrower with Fannie Mae. KeyBank is our finance provider. We have strong relationships that can get it done.
Well, yeah.
What puts us ahead.
But they're looking at that 1 week difference.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it is our relationships with the brokers throughout the country, with the architects, the developers. Oftentimes, we get in from ground up. So, they do lease up, it becomes stabilized, and then we get in. And it's because of our reputation and how we work with people.
Yeah. So. Well, and that's it. You know, your stellar reputation, you know, across the board with the company, you know, strong, strong sponsor for the debt community, and your capital stacks work well for you. And, you know, it's just a great company and watch the growth. So come on into hospitality.
I know.
Put your foot in the pool.
I think one day they're going to wake up and realize, oh, wait, hold on. We are already.
Yeah.
I mean that's really.
That could be.
Yep.
So, you know, we were trying to get another guest on here and I don't think he's going to make it. So I'm going to reveal that Larry Broughton was trying to call in. He's got a lot on his plate today. He did want to talk about the Park James. So I'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
It has opened. It's beautiful.
It looks gorgeous.
Congratulations,
Larry.
Congratulations, Larry. That's just a beautiful hotel. And yeah. Weston Spiegel, their GM, was one of our first guests.
Yes.
So
a shout out to Weston.
Yes, Weston. Congratulations. So I'm going to be up there next month. So I will see all of you, and we'll be talking about that hotel in more detail.
Where is the park, James?
It is in Menlo Park. And this is a 61 key boutique hotel. It was a ground up development, and it is spectacular. And Oak and Violet is the signature restaurant that has opened up in there. So,
and I know they've been posting on LinkedIn, they've been posting on Instagram. So go check out the park, James. Yeah. It's actually really very cool property.
Yes.
In a cool part of the state. Very unique kind of target market.
Yes,
and very much so. Especially in a very high-tech environment. I mean, I can't wait to go and check out. So, okay, where did they draw the line between
engaged
and connected
now, and
not in the middle of Silicon Valley?
Exactly.
Right? But it is a gorgeous property. So check it out. It is on Instagram. It's on Facebook. It's on LinkedIn.
And nice. Stacy, you are the grand champion with being here more times than anybody else.
So pretty. I like the rap job.
I didn't do it, obviously.
You can keep it wrapped, but I think you're going to miss out and have the fun.
Aww. But we wanted to thank you. You have been a big supporter of the show.
And I like that, too.
Yeah, I like that as well.
Paul's on it.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, a big supporter of the show and the conference, and
all of your hard work.
Yeah, of course. Come on.
This is my fave.
Yes.
How did you know?
Ryan's mother told me.
Oh. So,
a long, long time ago. Yeah. So.
Oh, very cool.
But yeah,
thank
it's also
you very
mine.
Much.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Very fitting bubbly gift for a bubbly person.
I think so.
Thank you.
Yeah, well,
we should all share.
Tequila's just too easy, okay? So, but I love that champagne.
Is my bag over there?
Yes,
it is.
I have something funny for you guys. I'll put this down here. Okay. Okay, so the other night I was looking for some products to go along with our property we just bought in South Carolina. So I was online looking at things that are made in South Carolina. I came across this product, and I thought it was the funniest product I've ever seen. So I had to buy it, and I posted it on Instagram. And, of course, Craig comments on it. He's all, no! And so I just have to show everybody. This is called doo-doo juice. And the marketing behind it, though, is hilarious. What they have written on the labels, it's just so funny. And so I had to get something that was made there to go to a conference I'm going to next week.
How funny.
You guys each get a doo-doo juice.
A doo-doo juice.
I have not personally tried this out.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
I'll leave that up to you guys.
There we go. Paul, you get one as well.
I get one too? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
There you go.
I got my oil today. No lunch, but you got doo-doo juice.
And I get a lot of doo-doo sitting in this chair.
Easy to use. No crappy stuff.
Yeah, here you go. There's your card that goes with it.
It's a toilet odor spray, by the way.
It smells, there's poopery, as everyone knows,
that
but this
right.
stuff is like better.
This is funny.
Citrus-scented.
Oh, it's citrus-scented poopoo juice.
Yeah. Some mom made that in South Carolina.
Your stinking worries are over with doo-doo juice. Toilet odor spray.
Thank you very
much,
Stacy. That's hysterical.
This portion of the show is brought to you by
doo-doo
juice.
Don't go to the bathroom without it.
So imagine if
your stinking worries are over with.
All your hotel clients, every room had some doo-doo juice.
Exactly.
In right on, yeah.
You haven't been to my house yet, but in my downstairs bathroom, there's a placard that says, changing toilet paper does not cause brain damage.
Yes.
So this is going right.
So I actually
next
have to admit
that
that actually motivated me out of guilt to change the toilet paper roll. I'm owning it. Okay. But Stacey, thank you. This is really
You're
funny.
Welcome.
It's a gift that keeps on giving, really, honestly.
Yeah.
I flipped the card over
it.
And it says, embarrassed to do. D-O-O, number two. And then underneath it says, do order soon. And then it's 10% off for your doo-doo juice order. So. Let's give him a plug. Doo-doojuice.com. There you go.
There we go.
That's hilarious.
That might be the stocking stuffers.
You know what?
Yeah.
All I have to say to you, Greg, is your stinking worries are over.
That's right. Oh. They are.
Anybody who's been listening to this show, I think your stinking worries are over too.
Now, if you think we've gotten off topic on today's show, tune in Halloween.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, yes. We're going to have some guests in the studio. Yes. Multiple guests. Mr. Huntsman's going to be one of them, by
nice.
The way.
Oh, nice. Dressed up?
You know, I
costume,
don't know.
No, costume needs to be a requirement.
Costume, got it.
That's what I told him.
I have some he can borrow. Just tell him that.
So, Ryan, call Stacy. She's got costumes for you to borrow.
She's got your costume. So, okay. I'm thinking about bringing back the red rocker, so I may do the blonde wig and Sammy Hagar again like I did a few years ago in Hawaii.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
Well, I have to say that Mr. Sullivan, my co-host, cannot wait till Christmas, which is when we had our last
83 more days.
So nice.
He insisted that we have a Halloween as well.
That's perfect.
So Halloween's my favorite holiday, followed by anybody's birthday because that's your day, and it should be a special day. Then Christmas.
Nice.
But
so first year on the air, we celebrate Christmas only.
Yeah.
Second year on the air,
Halloween.
It's Halloween. And Christmas.
Yes.
Because we will have a Christmas.
Yes,
we will.
We
have a Hawaiian shirt. We're wearing that thing again this year.
Now, you didn't mention International Podcast Day, which was September 30th recently here. I did.
Well, no, you know, our illustrious engineer didn't inform us.
That should be right up there.
Hey, tomorrow's National Vodka Day, so you got that in, okay?
And whenever in doubt,
doo-doo juice.
Stacy, thank you for being on today's show.
You're
thank
very
you
welcome.
For being such a great friend and an inspirational source.
Thanks
you
for
really are. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You'll have to tell me how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Hey, thank you.
Today's show was brought to you by Rad Gantos & Associates. It was also brought to you by Park West General Contractors, Chris Hostert, Ed La Civita. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen.
Nancy Nguyen. Sorry you couldn't join us today. You were missed.
Love you.
Yep.
Love you. Take care. Thank you, everybody. And aloha.
And the show's produced by
Golden State Media Group.